intense, thrilling, electrifying sport on the planet. Mixed Martial Arts. You've been looking for the definitive podcast to call your new home to hear everything about it. The search is over. This is the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. Bringing you the hottest MMA breakdowns straight from the heart of the octagon. This show is all about MMA breakdowns. For fans, by fans. We're talking UFC, MMA, and the occasional big boxing match. We'll bring our unique take on how these fights are going to play out and who we think are the best bets. Welcome to the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. And now your hosts, Olin, a.k.a. MMA Anomaly, and Emiliano, a.k.a. Jive Turkey Nano.
What is up, fight fans? Welcome back to another episode of the MMA Anomaly Show, No Filter. I'm your host, Olin, a.k.a. MMA Anomaly, and with me, as always, is the co-host with the most, Jive Turkey Nano. How we doing, brother?
Let's go. Great to be here, brother. Great to see you on this fantastic Thursday evening. Doing great, man. We got UFC coming home. First pay-per-view of the year. And it happens to be in someone's backyard, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to have more events there coming up. Dana White announced it. More WWE. More UFC, baby. We might be having more boys trips. Might be having some events out in Anaheim that we have looking forward to. So let's go, baby.
Let's excited, go. Brother. I would love to see it. I know you would too. So yeah, man, let's hope to see it happen. And if that happens, you definitely have to get that ass out here, brother.
Absolutely, brother.
With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fight fans of all shapes and sizes, we are going to be going over UFC 298 today. What up, Mad Max Meridian in the chat? Always happy to see you. Love this guy. Love the support. If you're not already following him, make sure you do that on Twitch. He does Whiteboard Thursdays stream. Yeah. And always great breakdowns from that guy. So, without further ado, UFC 298. Nano, my guy.
Brother, I'm excited as all hell.
What fight, other than the obvious like top two, are you most excited about before we start breaking these guys out?
Dude, I mean, there's a ton, right? I mean, first and foremost, I like to think that every card has some sort of narrative, some sort of story, right? There's posters every fight card, but there's also a narrative going into it. And I think what Dana White and the Brash were thinking with this first UFC pay-per-view of the year, I think they were thinking, hey, we're going to showcase everything we have, right? No bars held. We are going to come out. We're going to guns blazing. And I feel like there's a lot of young, up-and-coming prospects, these 20-something-year-olds that are hungry, ready to showcase their skills, going up against the old dogs, the veterans, or as Alexander Volkanovski was today, some of the grandpas, some of the abuelos in there. What a fantastic start, man. I'm excited as all hell. But to answer your question, quit stalling and just highlighting how excited I am for this fight night, or this pay-per-view, excuse me, this fight card, I should say. The fight that I am interested by stylistically, and obviously you mentioned the top two in terms of the main event, co-main event, but Jeff Neal and Ian Machado Gary has a lot of heat behind it. But as I've been doing my breakdown, really excited about this Anthony Hernandez versus Roman Kopylov. I mean, a stylistic matchup that is a bit late last minute. Anthony Hernandez was supposed to fight, Imavov Aliskarov, another dog. But no, Roman got the call. And man, when you turn on the tape, you watch Roman fight. He's a freaking gladiator out there. And Anthony Fluffy Hernandez hasn't been out there in a while. So partially just, I think the chess pieces, the chess match that we'll be seeing here is what I'm excited. But brother, the whole main card is straight fire. I mean, you throw a dart, you can't miss, brother. I don't know if you have one that you're excited about as well, but anything on the main card, I'm hyped about.
Yeah, I can't deny the main card is definitely where it's at, which, you know, that's why they call it the main card. But you also know that I like to mix it up a little bit and, MMA Anomaly, mixed martial arts, something that's a little bit different. I'm going to go with an early prelim here for one of the fights I'm most excited about, Nano. And that early prelim is Oban Elliott coming in against Val Woodburn. why? Why is this one so hot for me, right? Like, why is there so much heat on this fight for me? I'll tell you why, my friend. Because both of these young men actually have a whole lot of reason to win, more than even maybe the people on the main card do. And I know you're wondering why. Like, there are championship fights. Well, one of these guys is probably fighting for a job, and the other one is probably fighting for a job. Now, why I say that is because Val Woodburn, if that name sounds familiar, it's because he was brought in last year during International Fight Week to lose to Bo Nickel, a weight class up at middleweight. He doesn't usually fight there. He usually fights at welterweight. It's a pretty significant difference at 15 pounds, right? Even more than that if you account for the rebulking period and how much weight some of these guys are able to put on. So, that being said, we all remember Val Woodburn just getting knocked into the shadow realm, and now he's stepping up. Mind you, that was his first and only loss in mixed martial arts professionally, and it was to Bo Nickel. So, tough break, kid. Now he's stepping in against Obon Elliott, who I don't know if you remember this guy or if you've watched this guy fight at all, but I'll tell you this. He was on Dana White's Contender Series. He fought a man named Kaique Brito, and he said before going in there, he'll have to kill me to get me out of there, right? He basically said, like, it's my destiny to be in the UFC. He very much was on some Thanos level shit when it comes to this is inevitable. You can't stop the inevitable. The Welsh gangster Obon Elliott went in there against this young man. And while he was on top of him at one point, he literally, while hitting him, said, "You're good, but you're never going to beat me today. Like, you're never going to stop me from my destiny." Like, he's talking this, like, fucking inevitability shit while beating a guy's face in. So, I love this go. And by the way, just to tip the cap for the love here for the Welsh gangster, this young man was working the railroads when he competed on the Contender Series. Oh, by the way, he still is. He's still working the night crew, laying tracks for the railroads, and he works with people like, who is it that he works with? Oh, man. It's going to drive me nuts. Shore, Jack Shore. He trains out of Shore Martial Arts. So he trains with Jack Shore and the boys. Just all those Welsh guys. He's got a who's who in his staple of people that he trains with. As Mad Max Meridian said, though, Val Woodburn was a lamb to the slaughter in his last matchup. So I am intrigued to see what he can do with a full camp. And he's damn sure had a full camp coming into this one. So, I mean, this just has fireworks written all over it. Someone's going to sleep, friends. Someone is going to sleep.
Ooh, okay. I like it, brother. I like it. Yeah, man. I mean, stylistically, it's going to be a fun matchup. Like you mentioned, Valentin Woodburn, 5 KOs out of his 7 wins. Dude typically finds a way to get them out of there. When you look at him, it makes sense, right? Dude is extremely big, strong, built like a bowling ball, and he has that power. Unfortunately, yeah, his claim to fame, like you mentioned, is that KO loss of Bo Nickel, and fed to the lambs on that one, unfortunately. But he is a dog for taking that on a few days' notice. Nothing but respect, and I think he is getting that reward for getting on a UFC pay-per-view. First one of the year, has a lot of heat behind it. And he's the type of fighter, you know, even though he does have that 4-inch, what I meant to say is he will have 2-inch reach advantage, even though he's 4 inches shorter than his opponent. So he's got these kind of freakish dimensions, which are hard to replicate, hard to prepare for. And when you're in there, this guy's able to get you from that far away. It's going to make it tricky to fight your fight, especially when he's the type of guy that's going to make you want to fight in a phone booth. He's going to want to cut off the octagon. He's not going to want someone like Obon Elliott getting loose out there like he does. Because that is one of the things that stood out when I started to watch Obon. He put on the tape. Dude has an obvious kickboxing style, but it's fun to watch. He's an absolute dog, like you mentioned, willing to go in there and fight dudes that are above his weight class, anybody, any day. I love that mentality. I do think that his movement, his ability to stay on the outside at range and maybe pick apart a strong and a little bit more of a heavy-footed Valentin Woodburn. Again, nothing to not to hate on the boy. I think he's awesome. And I mean, I'd root for him, and he seems like a nice guy too. That was, you know, part of the other thing here, and the lead up with the fight against Bo Nickel seemed like a nice guy, someone you want to root for. But it's a business; someone has to get beat up in there, and I do think that the reality is he just seems a bit more clunky. He's not as fluid. For again, I mean, we look at him, he's big, right? He's not light as a feather out there, and he doesn't have that kind of vast movement to his game. So I do think if Obin's moving around and he's able to debilitate the legs, able to rip the body, rip the legs, rip the calf, you know, and then eventually go upstairs, or even just keep Valentin Woodberg guessing, kind of keep him hesitant on the trigger. It's going to be a fun fight stylistically, but I do think that Obin has more weapons to deploy here. And I do think that he's going to find a way to kind of chip away at a tough Valentin Woodburn and find a way to win. Like you mentioned, he needs it at 26 years old, 9-2. There's no better time than now, right? On this kind of stage, and you don't want to string together any types of losses in general, right? But, you know, and Obin, I mean, having a good win streak here, coming off the Dana White Contender Series, this is kind of your first showing in the UFC. Again, you don't want to start off with an L. You don't ever want to take an L in the UFC, let alone this kind of stage and against this kind of fighter here in Valentin Woodburn. So I'm taking Obin, not just because Obin is close to Olin, but and I'm excited to see Valentin Woodburn, man. I hope he shows out. But I think it'll be a tough, gritty decision. Might even be a split decision. I think it'll be close.
Well, I hope you're wrong there, simply because Mad Max Meridian in the chat here, our good pal, he had to lean on the under on this one. He took the under 2.5 at minus 175 odds there. I could see that being the case, man. I think these are two really, really game fighters. Both are going to come out there looking for a finish. You got a young man in Obin Elliott, and you got a guy that's just barely entering his fight prime in Val Woodburn. And just like you said, I mean, there's a 4-inch reach differential here, but or height differential, but a 2-inch reach differential, like crazy ape index for Val. I obviously he's going to have the reach advantage, but Obin uses his reach so well. And also he just enters the pocket so quickly. He's going to just provide a lot of trouble for Val, in my opinion. That's why I have him edging this one out. I could see him getting a knockout early in the second round and winning Mad Max a little bit of money there.
Rooting for you, Max.
We did skip over a fight just because Cat got out of the bag a little bit, got too excited about that Obin Elliott fight.
Skipping around just a little bit now. Just a little bit.
You know what I'm saying? Skipping around just a tiny little bit. So we're going to rewind. And we're going to go ahead and talk about Andrea KGB Lee coming in against Miranda Maverick. Little fun fact here. Andrea KGB Lee and me worked together at my first restaurant job. Great times.
Nice.
We're at a steakhouse and sushi bar in Bossier City, Louisiana.
Yeah. Shout out.
You love to hear it. So I'm going to let you take the lead on this one since I had totally steamrolled ahead on that last one. who have you got in this one? Andrea Lee or Miranda Maverick?
This is a fun one, brother. And this one gets me to pick against our girl, Andrea KGB Lee. But unfortunately, I might be leaning the Maverick on this one, brother. But I do want to break it down here a little bit. Tale of the take. Andrea KGB Lee coming in at 35 years old, 13-8 record, 3 KOs, 5 subs, very well rounded. That KGB means she's a legitimate assassin, okay? She's stealth-like. But does she still have it in her, right? At 35 years old, she's fought just about everybody. She's been really active, over 20 fights in her career. It's just what version are we going to see, right? How much does she have left in the gas tank? These are some of the questions I have. Because we all know how much of a savage she is of a woman, right? Like, she's an absolute beast. It's unfortunate when you get to this level is there's no easy nights in the office, right? Every challenge in front of you is a top 10, top 15 fighter. And unfortunately, they just were better that night. And unfortunately, this has happened the last 3 Saturdays for our girl, Andrea KGB Lee. Just not on the right side of time that, you know, at this stage of her career, you know, those are just not the right signs, not the things you want to be seeing. But she will have a 4.5-inch reach advantage. Can she use that to take her advantage? Can she keep to her feet? Can she win in the striking, make the differential far enough so where, you know, Miranda Maverick can't get her wrestling going, can't get her down and submit her, because that's really where things get tricky. Although Andrea KGB Lee does have 5 submissions of her own. Miranda Maverick at just 26 years old, 12-5, almost the same amount of time in the octagon with 7 submissions under her belt. And the one thing I just have to look at here is where they are at in their careers. just as athletes, as fighters, as humans, right? I would be remiss to say that at 26 years old, you know, Miranda Maverick is still trending a bit up, right? I think she's not yet to hit her peak as an individual, nor do I think as a fighter. So I do think that at this stage in her career, getting better, going up, you know, in that direction, and again, that wrestling pedigree, and she's a strong girl. Like, yeah, she will not have the reach advantage, but that's not her game. She's kind of a Mike Tyson-esque. She wants to sit in the box. She's going to inch her way in or just use her athleticism and sprawl, grab a leg and get you up against the fence, wall wrestle you, get you to the ground, ground wrestle you, beat you up a little bit, and use that strength to her advantage. She can gas out. That is maybe the one caveat. If she doesn't get Andrea KGB Lee out of there by that third round, then it's anyone's game. I'm staying away from this one from a bettor's perspective, but I'm probably leaning the favorite here at minus 190 in Miranda Maverick. But it pains me to say it, brother. I do. What are your thoughts, though, brother? Talk me off the ledge here.
Well, in the heart of Maverick, I just got to say...
You can be my wingman anytime.
You know, had to utilize that sound clip any chance I can. So, that being said, we're going to go ahead and jump right into the inevitable here and talking about Andrea KGB Lee against Miranda Maverick. This is a tough outing for Andrea Lee. We are friends, so I hate to pick against her, but I've got to go with my brain, not my heart on this one. So we got 26-year-old Miranda Maverick coming in against 35-year-old Andrea Lee. There is a 4-inch reach disadvantage for Miranda Maverick, which is going to pay dividends for Andrea Lee, who is no stranger to the striking department. She's definitely going to be the better striker out there, in my opinion. But training out of Elevation Fight Team is Miranda Fear the Maverick. She has 7 submission wins, 1 KO win, and 4 decision wins. She is an absolute grinder. She does have a loss to... what was her name? I believe it was Jasmine.
Yes, Adavate.
Yeah, there we go. But I mean, come on. We already know that Jasmine is an absolute beast, folks. So that was kind of one of those inevitable things. She also has a loss to Aaron Blanchfield and Macy Barber. Now, the fact that she does have that loss to Macy Barber... I mean, Macy Barber beat Andrea KGB Lee. Maybe those two things kind of cancel each other out to an extent. But if I'm being honest, it's going to be a really tough outing, as I said, for Andrea Lee. Miranda Maverick is going to look to close the distance. She's going to look to suffocate Andrea Lee early on. And if she's able to, she will suck the life and the pop out of Andrea's shots. She's going to take away a lot of the sting. And obviously, that is going to just prove to be the beginning of the end for Andrea Lee if that happens. However, we have seen that when Miranda Maverick eats shots early on, she can also lose steam herself and look a little bit discouraged. We saw it in the fight, as I mentioned earlier, against Jasmine.
Yes, Adavitej.
And, you know, I think we could end up seeing similar things from my girl Andrea KGB Lee, if I'm being honest here. That being said... if we're talking about bets and, you know, who I would tell our viewers to put their hard-earned cash on, honestly, I'd say stay away from this one. It is a tiny bit volatile. That's probably my heart speaking. But gun to my head, who am I going to pick? Man, I don't know. I got a feeling that maybe, just maybe, Miranda Maverick is going to end up pulling it off and just getting the win, having a nice post-fight call-out. And, you know, we love to see it, baby. Tom Cruise money line, minus 1,000. That's Mad Max Meridian said in the chat. Yeah, I mean...
For president, I'll take it.
he'd have my vote. I mean, after that performance in Top Gun Maverick...
Class act.
So happy they're making another one.
Ooh. More Miles Teller, more Glenn Powell. Come on, baby. Dude, sign me up.
Sign me up, dude.
Check Let's it into go. My veins.
You can be my wingman anytime.
Cha. Oh, gosh.
I love it.
Awesome, dude. We are definitely hive-minding out tonight. So, moving into the next one, we got Josh Quinlan coming in against Danny Barlow. Originally, Danny Barlow was supposed to face Yusaka Kunoshita, but that got canceled, and now he is fighting Josh Quinlan. Why is he fighting Josh Quinlan, you might ask? Well, because Josh Quinlan is a fucking samurai. Literal nickname is Bushido. I mean, what else is there to say? The man is a very, very fun fighter to watch. Yeah, I'll let you take the lead on this one. I do have a pick. I do have some thoughts on it.
This is a fun one, brother. Yeah, man.
It's a very fun fight.
And it'd be tough for me to bet against, you know, Jack, a.k.a. Josh, the last samurai here, Quinlan. Because I do like what I saw from him in his debut in the Dana White Contender Series, come with a huge knockout and able to have one of the best restraints I've ever seen. Jumping down, going for the hammer fist. Oh my goodness. Can you hear me? Am I coming in?
Would you look at that? So Nano has just unfortunately dropped out, but he will be back in about 3, 2, 1. There he is.
Let's go. Can you hear me, baby? Am I back?
I can. Is he coming in loud and clear? Is he on the right mic? Check your mic settings internally on this thingy.
I will.
Just double check that. While he's checking those settings.
Here we go.
Oh, my gosh.
Here we go. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen. I think Josh thought I was his opponent there. He treated me like him. Send me to the nether realm. My apologies, y'all. I need to get the cordless mic going. I apologize again. But we are back, baby. And we are going to keep a steam rolling through because I'm excited about this fight again, brother. Like you mentioned, Josh Quinlan, I feel like he's a very exciting fighter. But unfortunately, after that tough knockout win that he had, he's actually had a really tough loss to a Trey Waters, who, my opinion, is a huge middleweight. I mean, the dude is like 6'10", and he has power and he has technique and he has those special gifted hands that you just don't see too often in the UFC. Probably a boxing background there, but you know, Josh was not able to get it rolling, was not able to figure out the size or the speed. And I do think that's unfortunately what Danny Barlow is going to be bringing in here as well, right? 6'2", he's going to be a couple inches taller. He's going to have 7 inches of reach, ladies and gentlemen. Danny Barlow is an absolute dog, 28 years old, 7-0, 4 KOs under his belt. Left-handed god, a nickname given to him by his coaches, and that's for a special reason because that thing has some power behind it, sends you to the heavens. But he's got that speed and precision, and again, with that longer reach, that longer style, and that ability to connect from almost the other side of the octagon, you know, go gadget, I'm going to hit you with a 2-3 combination here, and well, what are you going to do about it? You know, so I think stylistically, this is a tough matchup for Josh. Getting no favors here coming off a loss. You hate to see two in a row, especially coming off a win in the Dana White Contender Series. But I'm going to lean the guy that just has the more special skill set, a little bit of a better athlete, a little bit of a younger fighter. I think I'm going to go with the undefeated guy here. I like his swagger, too. I think I'm going to go with the Danny Barlow here, brother. I think that's where I'm leaning, just because, again, I like what I've seen from him stylistically. He's fun. Does he keep his hands down? Maybe a little bit, but he makes up with it to kind of bait you in. He's got the speed to get his hands back up, but he wants to react. He wants to counter, and that's typically when he does his best work. And so I think Josh may fall into some of those traps, and I think Danny can edge out a win here, maybe by decision, but it's close. I think I'm staying away from it in terms of my DraftKings because you just never know with these middleweight guys, two strong individuals, guys that are motivated and young in their career still. Anything can happen, but I'm going with DB, Danny Barlow, baby.
Great breakdown. Happy to have you back with the right mic. Is everything set up?
My goodness, I'll double check.
No, you're good. You're good. You're all set, brother. You sound fantastic. Better than ever. So Danny Barlow is his pick. This will be the first one we're going to bet a shot against each other on for sure, because I'm going with my guy, Josh Quinlan. I am going with The Last Samurai. I am going with Bushido. Why? Because I'm a fucking idiot. No, I'm betting with my heart on this one, possibly, but I really like this kid. I think he's got a lot of skill and a lot of power, right? Like, he does have one loss while his opponent has none. Left hand to God. I mean, Danny Barlow, as you stated, does have a lot of skills that he brings to the table and a lot of reach that he brings to the table. My goodness, 7 freaking inches. Oh man. That is just a tough outing for our guy, Josh Quinlan, but I digress. It's going to be one of these situations where Left Hook Larry is going to be very, very evident and very, very present, because both of these guys have very, very killer left hands. Josh Quinlan is able to put people away with his, but he's also able to get some gnarly submissions. Both of them were rear naked chokes. However, he also had a handful of knockouts in his amateur career too, right? So he went... he's got 4 knockouts in his professional career, but he also had, I think, 5 knockouts in his amateur career. So it may look like his opponent has more fights than him, and, you know, he actually does, because he had the same number of amateur fights, actually, as Josh Quinlan, and just as many finishes, right? He's got a couple of TKOs. He's got a couple of submissions as well. But again, when I watch these two, just tape-wise, I feel like Quinlan hits harder while Danny Barlow gets the better angles. And with the reach advantage, Danny Barlow should be able to get better angles much easier. But Quinlan's ability to close distance very quickly and land just absolute bombs, I think is going to pay dividends for him. He's also someone that's not afraid of eating shots to get in the pocket and land big shots. If I'm Josh Quinlan's coach, I'm telling him to go to the body in this fight. I think the body's going to be a lot easier target to hit, and possibly the legs, than going headhunting with Danny Barlow. And then once you get him leaning in to really cover up the body, then you start going to the head and you really start nailing him over the top. My picks on Josh Quinlan in this one. Yeah, I like him to get it done. I think he gets it done via finish too.
Oh.
As Mad Max Meridian said here, Last Samurai, Top Gun, a lot of Tom Cruise on this card, folks.
I mean, by Tom Cruise, you mean blockbusters and just nothing but the hits, then damn straight.
Man, speaking of nothing but the hits, this card definitely took a bit of a hit whenever it comes to the prelims here. Tatiana Suarez was originally slated to fight Amanda Lemos, and... Tatiana Suarez is injured again after an extremely long layoff and a laundry list of injuries and other setbacks. Hoping to see her have a quick bounce back, but I digress. She was replaced on this card by Mackenzie Dern, who will now face off as the preliminary card headliner against Amanda Lemos. So we will get into that in about 4 fights. This next fight, I'm going to be completely honest with you, Nando, unless you're dying to go over it, I don't have a ton of heat on it. Of course, I'm talking about Zhang Mingyang against Brenson Ribeiro. Nano, you got any heat on this one? Got any dogs in this fight?
Brother, I got a little heat. You know I bring the steam, brother. It's UFC 298. I got nothing but steam. I need to heat up that coffee cup for you, brother. I don't see no steam in there, man. Come on now. No, this is a fun one. I did have to look it up. I'll be honest. I mean, Mingyang Zhang, if you had asked me who that was before, I would have said, I don't know. Sounds like a Chinese basketball player. I have no idea who this guy is. But I looked him up. He is not a Chinese basketball player. He is not related to Yao Ming. But he may be China's next star in the making, ladies and gentlemen. This dude is a finisher, y'all. 25 years young. 16-6 record. 10 KOs, 6 subs. That is well-rounded, and that is 100%, baby. like it. He's a powerhouse built like a freaking refrigerator. Dude is huge as a light heavyweight. And let me just say, although they have not all been in the UFC octagon, but they have been in an octagon nonetheless. He has, in his last 9 wins, they have all ended in the first round by TKO or submission. 8-1 ratio there in regards to that. Ming Yang is honestly pretty technically sound. For a big guy, you wouldn't think he'd be able to move that well, but he's got really good skills. And this is someone that, you know, was really dominating in the Chinese circuit. So Candy can come out here and continue to do the same thing. There are some question marks. He has not really been challenged thus far, and I think that's why it's a close betting matchup. And he does have a dude in front of him, Berenson Ribeiro, 27 years young, 15-5, 9 KOs, 6 subs. Do the math. Another 100%er. I don't know why I didn't, how I missed this. I might need to throw an extra bet, y'all, on this under 2.5 or under 1.5, because the judges will not need to be in attendance on this fight. They can hit the showers. They can hit the potties. They don't need to be there. Their scorecards will not be of service. I think someone's going to get finished. But who's it going to be, right? I mean, this guy, Berenson Ribeiro, is riding a 3-fight win streak, all TKO or KO stoppages. He's 6'3". He's a big boy. I know the women are getting excited when I say that. And he's going to have 6 inches of a reach advantage as well. Whoa. He's a bit more of a wild puncher, not as technically sound. But overall, he's a tough, well-rounded Brazilian. It's tough for me to pick. I think I'm going to go Ming Yang Zhang. I just think he has the better skill set all around. But brother, what I do know, take it to the bank. Someone's getting finished here, brother. Hope that was enough steam for you. Come on now.
That's right, brother. Take a sip of Modelo. You earned it. Because with that breakdown, my goodness, I don't even know how the hell to follow that act.
Come on.
Pour up a shot, brother. Get it. Get that shot poured up. I'll do one with you. Let's fucking go, baby. Mary just sent me a picture. She's at a bar right now having a drink, enjoying the show, watching with a friend.
Let's go.
To see it. Let's go, baby.
Hi.
Let's get it. So I'm going to pour that shot up right after I get this breakdown going. Nano said it better than I will be able to. I'll be honest with you. Both these guys are absolute studs, absolute hosses, absolute bosses, and they're coming in to make a statement. You better believe it is the gorilla versus the mountain tiger. You know the matchmakers had fun with this one. It's an animal versus an animal. I don't know who's going to win, but you know we're going to hear someone's mighty roar. Folks, I'm excited about it. I think these animals are going to go in there and absolutely tear each other apart, right? If I had to pick somebody in this one that I thought, you know, really is going to edge it out, oh man, my money's on Ribeiro. You know, gorillas have opposable thumbs, gives them a distinct advantage over tigers, right? So with that being said, I just think that Berenson Ribeiro brings too many different threats to the octagon. His opponent is no joke. He is an absolute finisher, but I digress. I'm going with the gorilla on this one. He is riding a 3-fight win streak. All 3 of those were finishes on top, literally finishing like a gorilla would finish a victim. So very apropos nickname for the guy. And boy, oh boy, I think the gorilla is going to go out there and do this one exactly the same. I think he's probably going to rock him on the feet, and then just it's going to be Rock'em Sock'em Robots right on top of him on the ground, throwing them hammer fists, landing them Donkey Kong style. And man, it's going to be a Super Smash Bros.
Hell yeah, let's go. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my, man, this is a good one here. You got the whole animal kingdom in the house.
I feel like the matchmakers always have a really, really fun time just like doing some of these matchups when it comes to nicknames and different things like that. Like, you know, yeah. They're like, dude, tiger versus gorilla, who do you think?
So, no, they know what they're doing. Yeah, again, this is the first pay-per-view of the year. I mean, they've been having this one circled for a long time. See, we're getting the shots ready. But again, each fight has its own little narrative to it as well. So it's one thing I love about it.
Facts.
Down the hatchet, baby. Let's go.
Boom.
Ooh.
Let's get it. All right.
Come on, so, baby.
Moving into the next one, man, I should have known you were going to have heat on every one of these fights. My fucking guy.
Come on.
My guy. So into the next one we go. This one is one that I might be a little bit too fired up about. We got Hinya Nakamura coming in against Carlos Vera. Now, do you know about this kid, Hinya Nakamura? Do you know a lot about him extensively?
I mean, I'm excited to hear you break him down. I did do my due diligence for the fight, but I did not know about the kid before then. And I don't know how I missed it because this dude's a savage.
Not only is he a savage, but it's in his blood, brother. So his dad is actually one of the founders of Shooto. And what was the other one? It was Shooto and... Shooto and another big promotion in Japan. Basically, the predecessors for Pride. He's also the guy that convinced Gracie to compete in Pride. So he's the reason for a lot of things mixed martial arts related. Is Renya Nakamura or Hinya the hybrid Nakamura's dad? And so, I mean, it was destiny for this guy to come up here and become just the prodigal son, right? So originally he was supposed to fight Brady Highstand, the winner of Ultimate Fighter. That fight fell through back in February. We're in February. That fight fell through. Now he is fighting his opponent, Carlos Vera, who is no slouch. I personally don't know if I would say this is an easier or harder matchup for him. I mean, I know you know who Carlos Vera is, obviously, right? I mean, you watched
Ultimate Fighter. Oh yeah, we broke it down here. We got the receipts.
So definitely excited about this fight, right? I think the hybrid brings a lot of problems to this young man. He's already had two fights in the UFC. The dude is just an absolute stud, and he's so fucking fast. It's just incredible to watch him fight. I feel like I'm watching a very, very old school martial artist whenever I watch him compete. He just seems to have, that's what it is. It was martial artists of all of the time still tell me that without my father's effort, there would have been no Shooto, Valley Tudo Japan. That's what it was. So yeah, this dude's dad started Shooto and Valley Tudo. Like, legend. Without those, there would be no Pride. So he basically started Pride. And I mean, come on, bro, literally all time legend. So I'm super excited for this one. I do think that Carlos, Paquino Vera brings a lot of problems to the table. He is very, very wily, tricky, just a tricky, slick guy. The submissions that he throws up, the flying triangles, the way that he's able to slip in guillotines just effortlessly, right? We've seen it happen multiple times, but this ain't the guy. I just don't think this is going to be a guy that he's able to get that kind of win over. And I mean, with all due respect, the ones that he has gotten it over, they're fine martial artists, but they're not Nakamura. I think Nakamura has been around a who's who in training. And I mean, the dude's just a beast of a wrestler. So I don't think he's going to fall for any of these easy setups. And I definitely don't think that it's going to be an easy night at the office for Carlos Vera. My money is on Hinya Nakamura. I got the hybrid in this one, man. One thing I know about hybrids is they're damn efficient, and I think he's going to be the more efficient man inside of that cage.
Oh, yeah. He's a beast. I mean, that makes more sense maybe why the bettors have Hinya at a minus 1,300 favorite. I mean, absolute absurd. Huge favorite. I mean, that's, one of the largest I've seen in a long time, ladies and gentlemen. So, fighting out of America top team, is he the next guy out of this gym? And just like you painted that beautiful picture, Bob Ross style, I mean, brother, he's got all the makings, right? I mean, he has that wrestling background, and I think that's why he's kind of reminiscent of that older generation of fighter. But boy, that's such a beautiful, like, ace in the back pocket, right? When you actually can build upon that, you have that as a base. He did the wrestling until he was 25, and now he's in the UFC, just 3 years in mixed martial arts, but already 8-0, knocking dudes out, 5 KOs, and again, doing all of this, out of Japan, which, like you just kindly painted, brother. I mean, that's like the mecca of mixed martial arts, of just where the UFC came from, right? I mean, Pride and all those fighters that Pride delivered to us. I mean, that laundry list is ridiculous. Hall of Famers, legends, you name it, everything in between. But yeah, man, Renia is a perfect embodiment of just everything that represents, that family lineage, what Pride, what the old generation, with just any generation of just fighting, and any fighter that transcends generations, right? It's just that toughness, being able to dig deep. And for him, he's super athletic. He has that, again, wrestling base, which is, I mean, one of the best fighters of all time and of our generation. Khabib, what was he? He was a absolute wrestling just savant, right? He was a unicorn. And that's what is special. If you have that in your back pocket, it's absolutely incredible. But now he's been able to add on top of that, using his explosiveness, being able to keep an 85% takedown accuracy, and averages over 4 takedowns a fight. I mean, that stands out to me. That pays dividends. Like, that's huge. I mean, that means every time he wants it, he gets it. But that also means he's not like Merab and just shooting just to shoot. It's with purpose. He's going in there being tactical and putting all the fundamentals together. He's doing a well-rounded game. If this was basketball, he's shooting a triple-double. He's playing defense. He's getting the blocks. He's getting the assist. He's making the baskets. He's doing everything you need to do. And again, this is all just within 4 fights in the UFC, man. So I'm extremely excited to see what's next. This is a big step up in level of competition. Carlos Vera, like we mentioned, is no slouch. But the reality is, he is going to be 8 years older. He is going to have a decent like ground game behind him as well. But again, I mean, let's just be honest, right? I mean, Renia's cut from a different cloth, and he's built a little different. So I'm going to take him probably by a finish. And I think Mad Max mentioned it earlier, minus 700. Maybe not worth actually putting down money-wise, but certainly maybe parlay that puppy, or best believe that's for a reason. That's not a facade. Don't go chasing. Don't sprinkle anything, you know, on Carlos Vera because you think you're gonna get paid out a bunch of money. Like, it's no, don't fall for that trap, please.
Yeah, not a chance. Definitely don't do that. I mean, I said it in the chat. I'll say it out loud for the listeners, for the audio only listeners. Look, I think that the crazy odds that we're seeing here on him are not that crazy. I think it's going to be something that we continue to see more of the more we see him fight. In all honesty, I feel like he's Bo Nickel minus the rub. He deserves the rub. He deserves the shine. He deserves the push because of who he is and because of where he comes from and the lineage that he brings. But he's not going to get the free ride. He's not going to get the rub that the Joe Pyphers and the Bo Nickels of the world get, or even the Ian Garys. But he's going to end up fighting his way up there. And I truly think that this guy could be a future legend. If he continues on at the trajectory that he's going right now, I mean, the guy has superstar written all over him. It's just a matter of time before people actually start to know who this kid is. And I mean, he's so young in his career, yet already starting to become so established. With that being said, it's obvious who my pick is. I got Hanya all fucking day, all night, and probably the same in his next fight. Moving into the next one, we got Marcos Rogério de Lima coming in against Justin Bad Man Taffa. Man, oh man, oh, it's, you already know I got the bad man in this one. Son, the bad man. Come on. Who do you have in this one?
Is the bad man Justin Taffa?
Taffa? Justin Taffa.
Oh, yeah, he's a bad. Yeah, brother, I do. I mean, this is the battle of the big boys for sure. I mean, maybe we don't need to spend too much time here, but yeah, I do think that Justin Taffa, 30 years old, 7-3 record, 7 KOs, 100%er, baby. Love to see that. But man, it's just, he's fun to watch too. The way he does it is purposeful. He's a big boy. He does it with some moxie. He's got a little extra swagger to him. But he's going to have a tough matchup in front of him, brother. I mean, Marcos Rogério de Lima at 38 years old, he is on the back nine of his career. But 21-9 record, 14 KOs, and the kicking game. That's what I've been hearing as a common theme on the intraweb, on the internets, and just when you watch him fight as well. If he could actually get going, if he gets that leg kick going, if Justin doesn't make good, fast work of him, if you let him stick around, Marcos is a pest, man. He'll sit there and he'll calf kick it, he'll leg kick it, he'll kick your body, and he'll eventually get you out of there. He does have that capability, regardless of your age. Kind of like that Glover Teixeira gene a little bit going on. Yoel Romero, Anderson Silva, you're catching my drift. Something in the water over there in Brazil. But no, Justin Toffa, man, so savage. Someone you want to root for. And someone that I think, frankly, is going to find another way to get it done. Give me the bad man. Bye, 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 bye. Ojerio.
Man, I'm taking the bad man in this one too. Just like you said, not a need to spend a ton of time on this one. We can spend about as much time on this one as the typical average fight time of a Justin Toffa fight, which is somewhere around 45 seconds. You know, he either ends up fighting you for what, a minute and 22 seconds, or he fights you for 29 seconds. So either way, no matter where this fight goes, the young man is going out there to get a finish. And I mean, how could we forget he got a finish over the all-time legend Paco Porta? All right. Paco Porta is a champion of our hearts. So the fact that he got a finish over him, and not only that, but he got a finish in 1 minute and 5 seconds. So if you combine his last four fights, okay, if you combine his last four fights, guys, there's still less than one round of fight time there. Fun fact about Justin Toffa. He's a fucking bad man. Okay. So that being said, I got Justin Toffa. I think the safest bet is probably the under 2.5 or under 1.5 here. But I got the bad man in this one. I'm taking the straight money line on him. You get him at dog odds, you take him at dog odds, folks. I mean, the guy is the definition of a fucking dog. Oh, so you got to take him when he's got dog odds. I think he gets it done either by knockout on the top, just a quick right. Or I could honestly see him getting a stoppage via leg kicks. His leg kicks are pretty fucking nasty and pretty underrated. So, yeah, we'll see it, man. We'll see it happen. As you said, 100% fight finish or finish rate. I think this is going to be no different, folks. I think he's going to go out there and put it on Pazau. Pazau, who also is a pretty damn prolific finisher. I mean, the guy's got, what, 17 finishes of his own? So definitely not bad. I think the under might be the safe bet of the night here, folks. Moving into the next one, got ourselves a good old women's fight between Amanda Lemos and Mackenzie Dern. And I got to be honest, man, this is a pretty darn good fight. All jokes aside, Mackenzie Dern stepping in on short notice, I think actually is going to play in her favor, oddly enough. She is the younger fighter in this one, 30 years of age coming in against a 36-year-old Amanda Lemos. Both women stand at 5'3" and there's only a 2-inch reach advantage for Amanda Lemos. I think when Mackenzie Dern is not fighting a power puncher, she typically does really well on the stand-up. And I know what you're thinking really well in the stand of what the fuck, slow down. But she's looked a lot better in recent fights. And I mean that. Even in her most recent fight that she lost against Jessica Andrade, she was landing solid amounts of volume and strikes. I mean, there was a 3-strike difference in that fight. It was 50 to 53. She was landing at a 43% clip to her opponent landing at a 49.5% clip. And mind you, there was only a 4-strike difference in significant strikes. It was 49 to 53. So again, 43% to 49%. She only landed 4 less than her power striker opponent. And she just simply ate one coming in. I don't think Amanda Lemos is going to be able to deal that kind of damage. So for that reason, I got Mackenzie Dern by submission in this one, folks.
Ooh. You think Mackenzie Dern's getting back on the train? So got it?
I think she's getting back in the saddle again, baby. I think it's time.
Man, she needs it. I hope it's her time. I hope it's her time.
Time! Bruce agrees.
Man, it's tough. It's hard for me in regards to Mackenzie Dern. It's hard for me to get that last match out of my head, right? That match we saw against Jessica Andrade, a tough, tough Brazilian fighter as well, but someone that has those heavy hands, someone that no matter what you do to her is not going to be going away. And Amanda Lemos, does she have that same gene in her, right? Because I do think Amanda's a beast, but what kind of power is she going to have at this stage? And not as much that like she's all of a sudden deteriorated or, you know, she lost her fastball or anything like that. It just, the reality is like her last title, you know, fight that she had against Wei Li Zhang, like her opportunity at the title, she didn't seize it, right? I mean, obviously Wei Li Zhang's a generational fighter and she's going to go down in the books. And so, you know, maybe it's not the fault Amanda Lemos for that, but it just felt like she at certain points, and it felt like it was early in that fight, she kind of just gave up. I think she, and maybe that's too, being too brash. I like choosing my words wisely. I don't like being here and, you know, disrespecting these fighters. They're absolute savages. They're beasts. I have nothing but the most respect. It just felt like at a certain point after like maybe the first or second round, I think she knew like deep down, and I'm talking from a competitor, from an athlete, I think you kind of know like, I know I can't get this person. Like, I'm going to do everything I can to survive, but I know they have my number. I mean, I've been on that end in football and baseball and basketball. It's like, I can do whatever I can, but I can't block this person. I can't get past this person. I'm not going to outrun this person. It's just physically can't do it. So, you know, that's when it goes to the mentals. And unfortunately, that's where she lost. And can Mackenzie Dern get her to that same place? I have a lot of doubts, brother. I mean, I love your confidence for our girl, Mackenzie Dern. I mean, you know, if she were looking me in the eyes, I would probably believe anything she told me. You know, and I know she does have a great ground game. You know, she's 13-4. She has 7 subs under her belt. But we're, again, Amanda Lemos, I mean, at 36 years old, has 13-3 record, 8 KOs, 3 subs as well. She is no slouch. She knows what she's doing down there. That is not uncharted territory for her. And she is going to have 2 inches of reach. I want to say 3. I was going to round up. 2 inches of reach, just enough to maybe keep Mackenzie just outside of that takedown range and maybe just give her enough troubles. And like you said, maybe she won't be able to go out there and knock her out. But over the course of 15 minutes, 3 rounds, can Mackenzie score enough takedowns? Can she get Amanda into uncharted territories, into deep waters? Can she drown her out? I'm skeptical. I'm leaning Amanda. The age does scare me. That 6-7 year mark, I usually like going the young bucks, but you know, this woman's built a little different. I'm leaning Amanda here, brother. I just, Mackenzie Dern, just something about her. I'm skeptical. Maybe Matt Mastin chime in here. Maybe he's going to tell me something I'm not seeing when it comes to the ground game of Mackenzie Dern, or maybe her striking is going to take that next step. Maybe she took it on the chin and is taking the stride she needs, but I'm staying away from it betting wise, but Amanda Lemos is the favorite for a reason. I'll leave it there.
I'm not mad about it. We'll put a shot on it. You can have Amanda Lemos, and I'll take the Dern one that I'm betting on, Mackenzie Dern. So moving into the next one, I know you were really, really excited about this, and without further ado,
it's time
for the main card, folks. We are jumping right in, and we are starting off with a banger in Anthony Fluffy Hernandez coming in against Roman Kopylov, who I have never seen in the same room as Chase Hooper. So I can't confirm or deny whether or not they're not the same person wearing a bodysuit. So I do know that this is one of the fights that Nano was most excited about, so I'm going to let you take the lead on this one, brother. Let the people know how you feel.
Feeling good about it, brother. I'm feeling really excited to see our boy Anthony Fluffy Hernandez, someone we have not seen in a while, but he has that ranking next to his name. He has that number there, and that's something that all fighters want in this division. So Anthony Hernandez, man, what do we got, right? 30 years old, 11-2 records, 7 subs. He is on a 4-fight win streak, and he's got a really unique style, man. It reminds me of, again, we like talking about those older generation fighters. And that's what he feels like to me. Someone, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you would have seen in the UFC, I would say, you know, body-wise, physique-wise, again, he's got that Fluffy name for a reason. Unassuming, I would say. It's not someone that you look at and say, okay, this dude was built in a lab. He's on that same, you know, Captain America serum or something like that. But no, he's not. He's just looks like a normal dude. Looks like maybe your typical bartender nowadays or a barista at a coffee shop. Looks very unassuming, but dude, does he have some anger when he's in there fighting? And does he have pesty wrestling game. I mean, it feels like everything he does stylistically on his feet is all a facade. Feels like it's all a front. You know, he's just fronting out here, like Pharrell, just to get you to the takedown, right? Just to get his wrestling game going, that chain wrestling, as Daniel Cormier likes to say. Pesty with it, though, brother. I mean, this dude averages over 6 takedowns landed per fight. 6.79. That's a lot. In most 3-round fights, that's two a round. And that'll win just about most fights, right? That's great cardio. That's a unique style for a Mexican fighter here based out of the States. But I like it when I'm seeing from a fluffy Anthony Hernandez, man. But. Roman Kopylov. Absolute dog. Taking this fight on short notice. He wasn't even supposed to be here, man. He wasn't even supposed to be in the dance. But he has a ticket and he can tango. I'm excited to see what's next for him, brother. He has every bit of that nasty KO potential. His striking is elite and, in my opinion, worthy of that top 15 nod, regardless of how you cut it. The dude is an absolute savage. He's taking this fight virtually identical in terms of the metrics. Only a couple years older than Anthony. Just about as active, but he's 12-2 and he has 11 KOs, y'all. 99% finish rate. That is just about as good as it gets. I'm excited, but brother, I'm leaning the dog here. I'm leaning the dude that's willing to take this on short notice. I'm leaning the guy that when I've seen him, and again, maybe it's recency bias because I can't even recall the last time I've seen Fluffy Hernandez. And we've been talking about this we've been going at this ourselves on camera for a couple years now. Even just as a fan, I have no memories. Yes, Fluffy Anthony Hernandez beat Emin Shahbazyan, but has that aged well? I guess. What has Edmund done? Nothing. So what are we talking about, right? We're talking about someone that does have that name. I think he was trending the right direction, kind of the right place at the right time. And, you know, no reason to lose your name if you're not losing. But, you know, to not be as active or, in my opinion, just not facing that opposition of a striker like Roman Kopylov. Leaning the striker here, brother. I love my wrestlers. I love a guy that's a specialist, but I'm going rogue a little bit. I'm gonna chase my dog on this one because I think Kopylov's got that dog in him. Give me Roman the Gladiator. Let's go. Talk to me, brother.
Yeah, man, I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that. I love the heat. I think Anthony Hernandez definitely brings a lot of new things to the table that Roman Kopylov has not had to deal with before inside of the octagon. But Roman Kopylov is riding I think it's the highest middleweight knockout streak in the UFC. So, I mean, the guy's just an absolute finisher, right? He has 4 back-to-back knockouts against Alessio De Chirico, Prudahely Soriano, Claudio Ribeiro, and Josh Fremd. And, I mean, the dude is just an absolute beast. Mad Max is saying the over 1.5 at minus 165 was tempting. I'm actually going to lean away from that. I'm just going to go straight money line on our guy, Roman Kopylov, because I think he gets it done, man. I think he does get it done, and I think he gets it done via finish here. I could see Anthony Hernandez trying to just leech wet blanket approach him and just sap the energy out of those muscles so that way he doesn't have the power and the pop for the knockout. But Roman Kopylov, man, he can get it done anywhere it goes. He can hit you with body kicks and then finish you off with punches. He can go up top and hit you with a head kick that you least expect. Or, I mean, he can just go ham on you with the punches. We've seen him go switch levels with the punches, go from the body to the head, to the head to the body, body, head, head, body, 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 head. The guy's a very, very fun person to watch. And he's someone that I've had my eye on for some time now. Very happy to see him coming into his own and kind of growing up right before our eyes inside of the octagon here. I got Roman Kopylov. Give me that guy all day.
I like it, brother. I like we're back in sync here.
We're back in sync, baby. We are back in sync. And we are back in your life. And we are back on the grind with the next fight. We got, speaking of grinds, man, Merab Dvalishvili. Coming in against Henry, the King of Cringe Cejudo, who was awfully quiet today at the presser, I thought. But that's another time, another conversation. Nano, how do you see this fight playing out? Do you think that these two are going to end up going out there and striking with one another because the wrestling will negate each other? Or Just how do you see this one playing out, Nano?
Yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I think that's certainly what Triple C is going to want to do. He's going to try to impose his will. He's going to try to do the best he can to score, chop at the legs. But I think he's going to be successful at it? I do not. Not for the 15 minutes. I do think Henry will have his moments. I do think he will be able to stuff some of those takedowns. But Merab, the Mauler, Dvalishvili, at 33 years old, 16-4 record, 3 KOs, but 12 decision wins. Dude's an absolute grinder, right? Averages over 6.5 takedowns per fight. And that's in most 15-minute fights. I mean, you do the math, that is ridiculous numbers. And he's been able to put it together, right? He's been training with Aljamain Sterling. He's not known to knock you out. He's not someone that necessarily chases the finish, but he's not a fighter that puts himself in bad positions. He's not going to ill-advisedly put himself in harm's way. So a lot of the things that someone like a Triple C that's coming in with a lot of fight IQ would try to expose, he's not going to have those opportunities. Merab's not going to give him that luxury. He's not going to overextend like an Aljamain Sterling did and get knocked out like by Sugar Sean. Drop that in any way I could there. But Henry's smart. He's going to try to find those holes. He's good. He's great. I mean, Henry Cejudo, Triple C is a legend in the game, but does he have that much left in the tank, right? I mean, we did see his fight against Aljo. Well, I mean, you tell me. I mean, he lost some steam, no? I mean, he lost that fight because he started to slow down. Yes, he feels like he won the fifth round. Yes, he was getting his takedowns, but he didn't have that same edge that he had at 125 or that he did when he before he retired, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. I mean, Father Time's undefeated, my brother. You know this. And this is a dude that competed at a young age for a long time at the highest level as an Olympic wrestler, as a gold medalist, as a champion, as a 2-division champion. To retire, to, you know, be where he's at now again, I mean, awesome record, but 37 years old, 16-3, 8 KOs. Dude's a savage. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, but like he said, this is all or nothing. And I love those stakes that he's putting on himself. I love the pressure. But I just don't see a scenario where he's going to be able to outgrind or outsmart and avoid Merab's just relentlessness, right? So I'm taking Merab by decision. It's going to be grindy. Henry's going to outstrike him. We're probably going to be talking about how crazy the differential was and how, you know, you can't always look at the numbers, but you got to watch the fight, and Merab's going to find a way to get him out of there or to be victorious. I mean, and I don't know. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts of kind of the narrative around Merab, like kind of messing up his chances, or, you know, if he shouldn't have waited for Aljo to leave, if this is going to bite him in the butt at all, or if you think he's still that next number one contender. But curious to hear your thoughts on this fight, brother.
Yeah, I'm going to completely agree with basically everything you said there. Real quickly in the chat, Mad Max let us know his picks for this one were Merab. He put 2 units on at -198, and he got Henry by decision, a little hedge action there, +350, 0.3 units. That's a pretty solid go-to there, Mad Max. I can't be mad at that, if I'm being honest. But I'm backing Merab 125% on this one, folks. I think Merab goes out there and gets it done. The man is just an absolute savage, folks. I think he's going to go out there. I think he's going to shoot about 1,572 takedown attempts. Even if he only lands 23 of them, it doesn't matter. He is just going to be absolutely relentless out there like a young Jasmine. And he's just going to be completely unstoppable. No, all jokes aside, the Olympian has started to kind of show some wear and tear, right? He started to age out a little bit. As you said, Father Time is undefeated, and he's shown to be on the wrong side of it. So with that being said, Merab is just an absolute machine, which is a perfect nickname for the young man, which is probably why he is nicknamed that. He has a 4-inch reach advantage and a 2-inch height advantage. You got to think he's going to look like the bigger, stronger, and down to go longer guy in the octagon on Saturday night. I just think he's going to go out there and bully him. Merab's a great guy and is an even better fighter somehow. I think he's going to go out there and just absolutely beat the brakes off of an aging Henry Cejudo. He'll send him right back into retirement, folks. It will end up going to decision, in my opinion. I don't know if they'll probably be able to go out there and get a finish over him, but we've seen Henry Cejudo fade, so maybe he goes out there and just gets a ground and pound finish and gets a ref stoppage just because there's a lot of unanswered shots. I don't think they'll be the most powerful shots or that he will be able to get the knockout in, but again, I could see him going out there and just bullying him and getting the finish. Yeah, Merab Dvalishvili. And if you want to be brave, maybe take him by decision.
I can't wait to watch this fight, though. This whole main card is so exciting, dude.
Everything about this main card has heat on it, bro. Just so much heat. So much heat. Speaking of heat, we got this next one coming in. Geoff Neal coming in against Ian Garry. What the cuck is going on here, man?
You mean Ian Machado?
Ian Machado? Ian Machado Garry? Ay, 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 ay. Dude. Tell me what your thoughts are on this fight. Who do you think wins this fight?
Man,
don't give me the breakdown. Who wins the fight?
Oof. I think Ian Machado Garry will still find a way to win. I do think he'll find a way to win, but I do think Geoff Neal is going to freaking put him to the limit. He's going to test him out. He's going to test that chin out. Geoff Neal's pissed. Ian Machado Garry deserves to be knocked out, honestly. Like the way he's, and I shouldn't say that. He deserves some humble pie. I mean, he's been running his mouth a lot. Obviously, I know he has to respond to Sean Strickland and Colby Covington, but to hear him calling them out and saying, I'm going to beat them up and all this, I don't like where his focus is. I do love seeing him train with Charles Oliveira. I mean, that's pretty badass at that boxing gym or Chute Box or whatever they call it.
Shoot the box.
As you play the Rocky theme music there, because he's American, man. What is he?
I mean, and he's out there, shoot the box, boxing, American, Brazil, you know, why not?
Or Irish, whatever the hell he is. I don't even know anymore.
He's Irish. He's Irish.
Yeah, he's Irish.
He wants to be Conor McGregor so bad it hurts.
It's tough. It's tough. And he's still a young kid, so I give him all the credit in the world. I mean, at 26 years old, to have a perfect 13-0 record, 7 KOs, and he's smart. Like, he has all the skills. He's... I mean, honestly, like the way I would put it in layman's terms, it's like if you're creating a character, he's probably one of the most commonly created characters, like in terms of your skills, his size, like a couple cool tattoos. He can do everything pretty gosh darn good. He's got a solid, well-rounded skill set. But man, I mean, it's like, so he's a 26-year-old, right? I mean, which I'm 29, but I still feel like a kid, you know, and you're looking across someone like a Geoff Neal at 33 years old who knows you've been talking crap or were respectful to him. And then you made some shirts or some merchandise about him. He mentioned in the press conference, I don't think I'll shake his hand. Ian Garry kind of bulldozed past out and stared at him and said, hey, will you shake my hand? He's like, yeah, I got you, whatever. But it just felt kind of, for lack of a better word, a little bitch made. You know, I just felt like it's not a real move. You know, I like seeing that real G shit. I like someone that, you know, you stand on what you say. You're not, even if you think Sean's the scum of the earth, then why are you rolling around with the pigs, right? I mean, leave it alone. Yeah, you could defend your family or whatever. Yeah, you could defend that no girl deserves to be called or anything denounced. Like, I get that. I, you know, gotta respect all women, all things, but it's also Sean Strickland. I mean, he's not most people. I would say one. And two, if you're going to give it more of a platform and more of a presence, then you're already losing. And he's, again, talking about taking him out, talking about taking out Colby Covington. His head's not in the right spot. Does he have all the skills? Absolutely. But what's weird, too, with this matchup, but even for himself, right? I mean, he's going to have a 4-inch height advantage, but he's going to have half an inch shorter reach than our boy Geoff Neal. So is he going to deploy those kicks? And the other question that I'll ask you as I, hand it back over is Ian Machado Garry going to be more offensive? Is he going to lead the dance? Or is he going to know, hey, Geoff Neal is a powerful motherfucker. I'm going to circle away from the power hand and just stick to the outside and kind of win by points. I think that's what's going to end up happening. I don't know if Geoff Neal is going to blitz. I don't know if he's going to kind of push the pace. It might even be boring at times, but with that in mind, because I think Geoff Neal just, you know, he can at times not fight like a perfect fight, or isn't focused, or can, whatever the case is, just not put it all together. I'm going to lean the younger stud here that will have this feather in his cap and then continue on and still get tested, probably lose to a Shavkat Rakhmonov or someone that is of the elites, even a Khamzat or some of these guys, Bo Nickel, or I mean, you drop in any name, but yeah, give me Ian Machado Gary, brother. What are your thoughts? And what do you, how do you see this stylistically going down? Uh-oh, did you double mute?
The elusive double mute, ladies and gentlemen. You love to see it. So, yeah. How do I see this one playing out stylistically is a really solid question. I think that if it's any testament to how the fight's going to play out, what we saw today at the presser, that's the most reserved and choked up I've ever seen Ian Gary in my life. He was not talking shit. He was not brash. He seemed like he was stumbling on his words a bit there, and like the boos were really starting to get to him. If people are booing him on the walkout, I think that's going to shake him up and rattle him a little bit, especially being that close to the fans booing him, because he's not used to that. And, you know, as much as you pretend that you're ready and prepared for it, you can only do so much, right? So I think that's going to shake and rattle him up a little bit. And as a result, it will change the way that he fights. He's not going to fight as excitingly as we're used to seeing him fight, because he's going to be terrified of getting a loss under his belt. He's going to know that he cannot afford to get a loss, already having made himself the bad guy. If you're the bad guy, you got to win, right? You can't be the bad guy and lose. So he's got to go full heel. He's got to really, really lean into this bad guy bit, and he's got to get the win here tonight, or Saturday night, rather. Do I think he does? Not a chance in hell, man. I'm riding with my boy, Jeff Neal. I think he gets it done. Hands of steel, Jeff Neal. And the reason why is this. I think Ian Gary's only hope is if he's able to take him down and control him. Shavkat Rakhmonov shot 4 takedown attempts and got 0 on Jeff Neal. So, I don't know, dude. Ian Gary is no Shavkat, if you ask me. And Shavkat had a hell of a time putting him away across 25 minutes. So,
that's a good point.
Or no, sorry, across 15 minutes. That was a 15-minute fight. I forgot that was not a main event. But either way, I mean, he got it done in the 4 minute and 17 second mark of the very last round. And he still couldn't take him down. He had to do a standing choke on him. So, I mean, it was very impressive from Shavkat, but again, it showed just how tough Jeff Neal is. And that was after he had eaten 120 strikes from Shavkat. I just don't think that Ian Gary is that guy. I think that he's been given handpicked opponents. Most of the people he's fought are no longer in the UFC for reasons, right? And the people that he typically fights, they're able to piece him up quite a bit. I think he dodged a bullet and not having to fight Vicente Luque. But I think Jeff Neal is going to end up just smoking him in this one. I hope it's competitive. But at the same time, I wouldn't mind seeing Ian Gary just go out there and get pelted. Give me Jeff Neal in this one. I'm taking him by money line just because I think whether it goes the distance or it's a knockout, it's going to be Jeff Neal all day. Oh, you double muted? Oh,
I think I literally just did. I was going to say, yeah, hands of steel, hard to bet against, brother. I mean, he does have that capability at any point of the fight. Yeah, I mean, 9 KOs out of 15 of his fights, brother. He's a savage, man. I'd love that story for him. I'd love to see him get that shot, right? Get the, steal some of the hype from Ian Gary. And Ian's still young enough. I mean, at 26 years old, he was to lose a fight now. That'd almost be maybe the best thing for his career. Get that loss now. Get that pressure off your back. And then maybe you go back, you win 2 or 3 fights, and then you're right back in the contender conversation. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, brother. This is a tough one to pick. I think I'm staying away from it in terms of betting, especially because you're not really getting great odds. But hey, if you like Jeff Neal, I mean, you're going to get some good odds there, brother. Like it.
Absolutely love it. And I agree with Mad Max Meridian here in the chat again. Even if Gary wins, Neal shouldn't be a 2-1 dog. Like, that shouldn't be the case. But I digress. He is. So we'll take those dog odds all fucking day, baby. I love when the Vegas folks just ride the hype train. You know, when that's the case, we'll ride that all day. So going into the co-main event of the evening, folks, we have Paulo Costa coming in against Robert the Reaper Whitaker, or as us fans like to call him, Bobby Knuckles. I think this has just fireworks written all over it. I'm going to let you take the lead on this one. I feel like I took the lead on the last one there. My guy.
Bro, what a banger. Bobby Knuckles against Secret Juice, Paulo Costa. I'm excited as all hell, brother. This is a banger. This could headline any other fight card that they wanted to put on this year, but we're getting it for this special Anaheim locationed UFC 298. But yeah, brother, I'm excited, man. This is a banger. This is a huge one. A lot of implications, as I like to say here, for the middleweight division that is completely wide open, right? I'm going to start with our boy Bobby Knuckles, because he's a legend, man. He's one of my favorite fighters of our generation. Obviously, and it's one of those things. It's, he has his losses to Izzy Adesanya. He lost to Dricus du Plessis on kind of a downturn as of recent, but just feels like, dude, if Izzy wasn't born, like he would have been like a Mount Rushmore type fighter. Like, it's like he had a great run, and that's easily like forgettable at this point. Obviously, life goes on. Before COVID, it's like, what the heck happened? But ladies and gentlemen, like, he is a legend. He had one of the best runs at middleweight before Izzy Adesanya blew it out the water and just did what he did, which is absolutely unheard of. But let's not get it twisted, right? I mean, Rob at 25-7, he has 9 KOs, 5 submissions. He's extremely well-rounded, and he's been in there with anyone and everyone. Yoel Romero, prime Yoel Romero. Obviously, his battles with Izzy, getting in the with Vettori. I mean, Cannoneer. I mean, he's fought everyone. And I do think, I look at it two ways, right? I mean, yeah, you could look at his most recent knockout against Dricus du Plessis, getting knocked out, that is. And you could look at him being 33 years old. You could look at him doing a lot of the gaming stuff. And you can say, you could come to a conclusion that maybe he's hanging him up. What's his motivation? He doesn't seem really excited. He seems very nonchalant. What's the deal here? I'd say, well, if you knew Bobby Knuckles, that's kind of his nature. Goes with the flow. And he's always gamed. He likes to fucking game. People have their vices. So I don't think that's anything to hold against him. But I do think with over 30 fights at 33 years old, how much tread is left on the tires, that scares me, because the reality is Paulo Costa will test them out. You know, if we're talking tread on tires here, Paulo Costa is that dirt road that no one likes to take in your hometown, that has potholes and has Lord knows what else on it. You know, just bumpier as all hell. Leading me over to Paulo Costa at 32 years old, 14-2 record, 11 KOs, one path to victory for our boy Secret Juice here. But what's interesting is two different paths. I mean, Bobby Knuckles has twice as many fights. And if you think about it, a lot of those fights are 5-round championship fights. So this dude, I mean, we're talking weathering or just, again, how many miles on this are on these tires, brother. Like, I'm nervous about it, man. It's how is Bobby going to respond after getting hit? I think my big thing here is after that first round, after that first exchange, after that first punch, I need to see how Bobby looks. I need to see if he's there, because there is a chance, like, you know, at a certain age, it's like that Chuck Liddell effect, right? Where sometimes you just get touched. Sometimes a good breeze can knock you out on a windy day in Kansas City or Chicago or somewhere. All that to be said, I'm leaning my boy Bobby Knuckles, man. I just think he has too much talent. He has all the skills. He's a Grim Reaper for a reason. And as much as I love Paulo Costa, I love what he's doing outside of the octagon. I think he's done a great job staying relevant on social media, but not active enough for my liking, and not skilled enough, and not enough gas tank. I don't care if it's a 3-round fight or a 5-round fight. He fades no matter how you slice it, especially if he's going in here trying to seek a finish. It's going to be a hyped up crowd. He's going to have that adrenaline dump. How's he going to respond? And again, Bobby Knuckles is going to look the same way he did that first round in that 24th minute. So I'm leaning Bobby Knuckles here. Hopefully that he can avoid the bombs coming from Paulo Costa until he fades away in that, like, halfway towards the second round. Curious to hear your thoughts, brother. Anything else that sticks out to you? Anything that excites you? Or just anything else, man, about Secret Juice here versus Bobby Knuckles, brother. A big one for the middleweight division.
I mean, this fight has a lot of things to be excited about, if I'm being honest with you here, Nonokins. And speaking of Nonokin and Anakin and Shanakin, there's a guy in the chat here. Super Silly Shy Guy. How we doing, brother? Welcome to the chat. Appreciate you being here. A shout out to the old roomie. Love that guy. So we are going over the co-main event here. We got Paulo Costa against Robert Whittaker, or as Paulo Costa pronounces it, Habata Hidika. I'm very excited about this fight. I think it has fireworks all over it. And as Nano, my co-host, always likes to say, this fight has implications, folks. So, I mean, this fight definitely does have implications, though. I think whoever wins this is likely going to be very, very close to a tarot chat. You know what I'm saying? And I see the co-host with the most there pouring up a shot of Secret Juice. So, going to go ahead and do the same thing here for Paulo Costa.
Oh, the juice talk actually got excited.
You know, he actually just released some Secret Juice. He had Michael Bisping try it. Michael Bisping said it was delicious. So might have to try some Secret Juice of our own. He said it's USADA approved. So that's always a good thing.
as long as it makes it look like him, then I'll take it.
All day, baby. So Robert Whittaker, I think, as you said, he's on the wrong side of the age dividend here. He's coming in at 33 years of age. Paulo Costa is 32 years of age, though, right? So there's not really a huge age gap. But as far as wear and tear, as far as tread on the tires, I think you put it well, right? Robert Whittaker has been in wars with people like Yoel Romero and things like that. So those types of wars take a lot of time off the old tires, off the old milk carton there, as far as the chin life goes. And I think because of that, I could see him losing this fight. However, that would be my answer if I hadn't saw that fight against Luke Rockhold, or again, as Paulo Costa likes to pronounce it, Luke Rockhold. He was gassed. Luke Rockhold was on top of him, not really doing a whole lot, just laying there bleeding on him like the scene from Fight Club. You don't know where I've been. And Paulo just took it. So if that Paulo shows up, if that gas tank shows up, and that wasn't simply because of the elevation they were fighting at, that fight card, I think Paulo's going to be in for a really, really rough night in there against old Bobby Knuckles. I think Bobby Knuckles gets this done. I think he gets it done in emphatic fashion. And then I think he calls for a shot against Dricus Duplessis.
He deserves it. And I'd say if Izzy Adesanya is not coming back anytime soon, why not grant him that wish?
A diss on you. Cheers to Vegas. Cheers.
Do some Secret Juice. Down the hatchet, baby.
Ooh-wee.
And thank you all for being here. If you're still around, appreciate you.
And Mad Max Meridian's joining in on the shot bets for this one. He's betting on Costa. So,
ooh, let's do
love
it.
Love that.
Man, Mass getting crazy over here.
We see you, loco. We see you, bruv.
I like it, though.
Mad Max is an honorary Brit. He just did the DNA test. Turns out he's 100% that Brit. Oh, man. I wish I could say that I wrote that or prepped that joke beforehand, but no, that's just the way my brain works. It's that bad, folks. Yeah, turns out he's 100% that Brit. Top of the morning to you, governor. It's strange. He was I asked him if he's watched Stranger Things, and because he's British, he said no, but he's watched bit odd, isn't it? Sorry, I'm gonna stop. I'm just gonna stop. I haven't watched Stranger Things, but I've watched a show called It's Bit Odd, Isn't It? So with that being said, moving into the main event of the evening, we have Alexander the Great Volkanovski coming in against Ilya Topuria. Man, this one is just fucking electric. It is tale as old as time. The young, hungry buck coming in against the old, grizzled veteran dog of a champion in Alexander Volkanovski. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you here. I got some heat on Ilia Topuria here. I think he can get it done. I think he can go out there and knock him out. He has nasty boxing. I do think that this, if it were just a boxing match, I think Ilia Topuria would probably just, you know, go out there and do the thing with the punches and the punches. And that'd be that. But this is a mixed martial arts fight. So I feel like because of that, Alexander Volkanovski is probably going to go out there and make this a mixed martial arts fight. He's going to mix the martial arts. He's going to shoot the takedowns. As Miss Mary said here in the chat, old man Volk is my favorite. Great bit at the presser today, doing the slow get up and stuff. Like, he was really, really committed to the character. Just chef's kiss action there. And I think it's going to be the same on fight night. It's going to be a lot of chef's kiss action. He's probably going to blow my parlay, and that's okay. If Volk wins and that's the reason I lose money, I'm happy with it. I'm just taking the other guy because, you know, dog odds, and he's got a hell of a puncher's chance here, folks. But gun to my head, give me Alex. On the shot, give me Alex. For the money, for the funsies, give me the challenger. What are you thinking, Nano? Who you got?
I love the way you said that. I think I would agree in just about every level of what you said, right? I mean, Ilia, man, great job selling it. Great job hyping yourself up. And when you turn on the tape and when you watch what he did, I mean, just go watch his fight against Josh Emmett and you'll see everything you need to see about him in terms of the boxing background, which isn't even his best background. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, Ilia Topuria is 27 years old, 14-0 record, 4 KOs, 8 submissions. I mean, the dude gets you to the ground is even more scary. But again, his boxing is wow. I mean, it's next level. It looks like he's been boxing his whole life. But the reality is he's just a next level talent. He's fighting out of Spain, España. I mean, he's got that gladiator in him. And dude, I mean, the manifestation, I mean, I seen a lot of it in Sugar Sean. And honestly, that seemed absolutely impossible leading into it. Yet here we are now. I'm sure Sean Strickland and his army of fans probably felt a very similar way as well. Anything's impossible until it happens. And so because of that, like, I'm never going to sit here and say that it can definitely not happen. Like, Ilia, everything he's been manifesting and the energy he's putting out there, even just how angry he feels, like some of that Conor McGregor, I know Volkanovski mentioned that, but you're seeing some of it, stealing his belt, telling the crowd, fuck you. Like, when you look at him, just something about him, like, it's like he has that it factor. And he has the skills to back it up. But I mean, the one word or the one name I have to say in response to all this is Max Holloway, right? Like, Max Holloway is a Hall of Famer. Max Holloway's best boxer in UFC. Max Holloway had no answer for Alexander Volkanovski. Not just once, not just twice, but 3 times here. So is Ilia that different? Yes, he has maybe a bit more power, but is Ilia, is he really that guy? I don't know. I do think it's going to be a really tough challenge, and obviously just seeing Volkanovski get knocked out by a much bigger fighter, but just that is tough. He's coming off those 2 losses, right? Like, a lot of it's fresh on the brain, 100%. But even like Yadier Rodriguez, I think there's a little bit of delusion in Ilia Topuria's words. But that's not to be disrespectful. Like, honestly, I'm a fan. Like, he has me. Like, dude, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. And this may be Volk's toughest fight. I could give him that. Was Islam a tough fight? Yeah, there were some moments. But I think Ilya can maybe even put Volkanovski in potentially some deep waters as well. I mean, all it takes is one shot with Ilya. That's a thing. But just as much as you could get admire or get infatuated by Ilya's movement and his spacing, brother, I mean, go turn on Volk's tape. Like, what are we talking about? I mean, it's like an Anakin facing off against Obi-Wan or just, you know, it's like, what? I taught you your moves, brother. I know this. I've been around the block. And the whole grandpa shtick, as Mary kindly put, it was my favorite. It was fun, a little different, you know, a good little bit of just lighthearted humor leaning into it. But you saw Volk did get pissed off when Ilya grabbed that belt. Curious to hear your thoughts on just the press conference in general. Obviously, I know you already broke it down. I think we're both leaning Volkanovski here, but wouldn't be surprised if Ilya gets it done and shocks the world. I mean, what he's been putting out, the documentary he already supposedly writ, or filmed prior to all this, like, I admire what he did. I'm in shock. I love it. It's exciting. I think if you're Ian Machado Gary, you look at what Ilya's doing, and that's how you play the heel. But yeah, man, I'm so excited for this fight. I can't believe it's already here. I like was talking to some of the boys and talking to Amy, and I'm like, we've been doing a lot recently. Do I want to go out and watch the fights? Do I want some atmosphere? But I'm also like, dude, every fight on the early prelim to the main is so gosh darn good. Like, may just bite the bullet, buy it myself, and just watch at the house, brother. I'm that excited.
And watch it with volume, brother. Like, Jordan, the old homie from Yelp, he's coming out. We're going to be watching it at my place. Like,
hey, yeah. There you go.
Trek out, and he'll be the move. I thought about going out and watching it, and I'm just like, dude, there's too many good fights. I want to be able to enjoy it with the volume uninterrupted and just enjoy the skilled violence, man. So that's definitely what I'm going to be doing, man. That is definitely what I'm going to be doing. And I am, for one, extremely excited about it. I think that most of, if not all of the fights on this fight card are going to deliver on Saturday night. And with that being said, we got some bets for you folks. didn't prep any fun graphics. We'll probably prep some after we wrap up tonight so we can post on the Twitter for you guys to tell if you did want to tail those. But the first one, simple enough to follow. I'm going to go ahead and take the lead here. It's one that I like to put in every once in a blue moon. I don't do it every fight card, but every now and then I like to throw it on just to see how smart Vegas is, right? Every single Vegas favorite, we got a half unit on that. So that's one unit to bank 60, or that's a half unit, sorry, half a unit to bank 63.4 units. Pretty hefty bet, pretty solid bet. Not breaking the bank with what we're spending, but definitely would be a nice hefty payday coming in. And then we'll go ahead and start off with my kind of far-fetched dog picks of the night here. And they're not even really that far-fetched, if I'm being honest with you, as far as, you know, when it comes to picking dogs, at least. So we got Roman Kopylov here, plus 210 odds, money line. We got Ilya Topuria, as I said, for the money, not for the soul, not for the culture, plus 105 odds. That's why we took him. And then we got Mackenzie Dern to win by submission specifically. At plus 250 odds. Come on, dog. You got to do it. That gets us up to plus 2,124. And that means that we will turn a half a unit into 11.12 off of a little three-legger. Moving into the next one, same exact bet as you just heard. Take off the weakest link, in my opinion. So we got Roman Kopylov at plus 210. We got Mackenzie Dern to win by submission at plus 250. And that ends up putting us at a half a unit to win. Let's see here. A half a unit to win 5.4 units, folks. It's one of the best that I'm actually probably more confident in. Got a couple of, got a straight bet here after this. We got Justin Toffa coming in at dog odds, plus 124. Like I said, when you get Justin Toffa at dog odds, you take Justin Toffa at dog odds, folks. He's a bad man, okay? So that's what we did. We took the bad man. Half a unit will bank you just a little over one unit there. And moving into the very, very next one, let's see here. Who else do we have? You know what? I'm going to go ahead and pass it to you, Nano, before we finish up here. Who you got?
Hey, my brother. I love it, man. I love it. I got two working here, and I might put a couple more down after breaking it down, after chatting with you. If I do get around some of my my friendly violent fan friends out here, then maybe I'll play some more. But start us off. I got my all my eggs in one basket, my gobble gobble. I got my 6-pick parlay. Right on cue. And it just feels like, you know, I mean, when I say these names out loud, you're like, oh, I mean, I easily see myself bent on all of them. This fight card is just that stacked. And what has happened the last two fight cards, first one, I think I went 5 out of 7, which is like, okay, you know, not ideal. Then this last one, 6 out of 7, freaking Joe Pyfer couldn't get it over the finish line. I thought, man, okay, what is it? What am I doing wrong? Well, I'm probably bent on too many fights here. So instead of 7, I'm going with 6. 6 that I like. See what happens from here, you know, because one unit is going to turn into 28 if I hit on all these fighters, all money line. Like running this one, but I got Amanda Lemos -135. Why not? Roman Kopylov +210. Then we got Mirab Dvalishvili at -218. Ian Gary -230. Some heavy favorites here. Rob Whitaker, Bobby Nux at -250. And then Volkanovski at -125. It's crazy. We're getting Volkanovski -125 here, ladies and gents. But that will take one unit, $5 into 28, 142. How about you? And then last but certainly not least, little unique here. I thought, okay, maybe I'll go away from the fighters and maybe I'll just try to lock up a little 3-leg parlay, turn half a unit into 3. I got Rinya Nakamura to win by TKO or submission, -175. Wasn't willing to pay -1300, but I'll take -175 and just assume he'll find a way to get rid of Carlos Vieira, my fellow Colombiano. Sorry, amigo. But I think Rinya's going to find a way to get it done. So give me Rinya -175, TKO, KO, DQ even, or submission. That's on there. It does say DQ. And next fight, we have round one finish for those big dogs. You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Marcos Rogério de Lima, and I'm talking about Justin Man Tapa. Someone's dropping -110. It's gonna happen. I couldn't pick who, but I know it's gonna happen in the first round, so we're rooting for it. And then last but certainly not least, decision win here between Alexander Volkanovski and Ilya Topuria. Again, I didn't want to pick a dog in that race. I can see it going either way. Frankly, if Ilya wins, it's probably going to be him knocking Volkanovski out. But because I'm assuming Volk's going to find a way to win, I think he's going to do so by decision. It's going to be a great fight. Ilya's going to have some moments, may even steal a round or two. But I do think that Volk's going to find a way to just put together a well-rounded mixed martial art outing. For 25 minutes, he's going to stay dialed in. He's going to shut up this loudmouth Ilya Topuria, which I love. But unfortunately, what happens sometimes when you poke the bear and you chirp, you know, you better be prepared for those bear claws and, you know, mess with the bull, you get the horns. And the matador should know this, but he doesn't care. He's waving that red flag in front of a fellow bull in Alexander Volkanovski. And brother, I don't know if you saw that MJ series with Michael Jordan, that is, with The Last Dance. But any chip on your shoulder that he needs, I mean, bro, you just gave it to him. You served it up on a gold platter with a gold spoon and a butler, and you're waving the banana leaf in front of him, serving him grapes. And you told him, find a reason now. Like, you, there it is. Well, I mean, what more motivation does you need to give Alexander the Great Volkanovski to go out there and beat you up for 25 minutes? So he's going to be tactical. He's going to probably score maybe 4 or 5 takedowns. He's going to just be well-rounded. He's going to hurt you. He's going to chop your legs and rip your body. He's going to show you what true distance management looks like and how he's going to command that octagon. So give me Alexander Volkanovski the Great, but by decision. That's why I took just the decision here. And there you have it. I think you said you have a couple more, so we can keep a steam rolling, baby.
We will keep it right on rolling through. So like I said, I do have a couple more here, folks. I actually really like your picks this week, Nano. I don't think they're bad at all. So I have two more. All right, I have two more little baby parlays here. First, it's a 4-legger. We got Robert Whitaker, Mr. Robert Whitaker himself, Mr. Bobby Knuckles coming in at -250 odds. Then we got Jeff Neal coming in at dog odds. You know we love a good dog on the show, folks. +190 odds on him. So we took that dog. Mirab Dvalishvili coming in at -218. We got Justin Toff, a bad man, coming in at dog odds, +124. Giving him dog odds. And with those four parlayed together, that hits us at plus 1,226, which will net us for a half unit down on that one. We will end up getting 6.6 units back and banking that. So, I mean, I'm happy with that. I feel very, very confident in that one. And then this next one is probably my most confident one of the night, of course, which is why it has the lowest payout of all the parlays. So we got a two-legger. We got Miranda Maverick coming in against Andrea KGB Lee. Just taking the money line on this one. And then I got Oban Elliott coming in at minus 305. That two-pick parlay gets us up to plus 104 with half a unit on it, paying out just at a whole unit, folks. And that's it for the parlays. That's it for the picks. That's it. That's it for all of it, man. That's it for UFC 298. I'm super stoked about this fight. I hope you guys are stoked about this fight. If you weren't before, I hope you are now, because it is going to be just an absolute thriller of a fight night, folks. Better believe we hope you're all collecting them coins.
Let's go. I can't wait, brother. Super excited. A lot of heat on this card, ladies and gentlemen, even on the early prelims. So if you're doing your household chores Saturday morning, throw them on. Do yourself a favor. If you're out on the road, download the ESPN app. They're for free. Go ahead and check them out. Make an ESPN Plus account if you don't have it, man. I'm telling you, it's worth it. This is the first pay-per-view for a reason. There's a lot of great matchups. Some old dogs, some new, savvy up-and-comers. Man, a lot of narratives, a lot of implications, as we like to say around here. But I'm excited as all hell, brother. And it's in your backyard, Anaheim. Where you at? Cali, stand up. Can't wait. They're loud. They're rowdy. Go Ross that press conference if you haven't already. Get a little feel for it. Some cringiness. Obviously, Henry Cejudo's in there. But just enough. I'm excited, brother. I can't wait. Can't wait to break it down next week as well, brother, with you all. And you all in the chat here as well, our fellow MMA anomalies.
Let's go. Is absolutely right, baby. So we will see you all on the next episode, which, of course, will be Monday on President's Day. We'll see you here. It's a national holiday or a federal holiday, but you know we won't be taking the day off here on the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter with yours truly. So we will be here Monday, same time, same place, breaking down the fights, breaking down our instant reactions to the card, and also, as usual, what we think should be next for the biggest winners on UFC 298. So whether you're new or old or returning or anywhere in between, just do us a huge favor. Please, it helps the algorithm. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, smash that bell for notifications. And if you're on just the audio only version, make sure you like, rate, review, all that audio podcast stuff. And until the next time, as we say here at the MMA Anomaly Show, no filter, keep on going, keep on growing.
You've been listening to the MMA Anomaly Show, no filter. As you may have been able to tell, we dig the MMA, and our passion is to dive deep into the upcoming fights, give you our expert breakdowns, and help you make sense of all the chaos that is the fight game. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, make sure to find us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at MMAnomaly. Be cool, and we'll see you next time.